Good morning. Today's daf and tanis is Yud. We are on the very top of Yud Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan. We're going to be starting with a Braisa. More very fundamental debates between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. If you recall, in the end of yesterday's daf, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are having a debate in terms of where the water is coming from. So we know it rains, right? That's probably one of the more correct things I'm going to be saying today. So and not only does it rain, but the rain falls from the sky. So where's that water coming from? So Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer debate that very point yesterday. Rabbi Elazar Shita says, Kola olam kula mimeimi ukainasu. The rain comes from the ocean, says Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it doesn't come from the order from the ocean, but there's some sort of water source up in the heavens. Okay, and again, the machlok is over here between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. At face value is a scientific debate, but most probably not. Most probably they're having some sort of more esoteric debate. That's occurring, and the Gemara is just simply providing it to us within a framework of what seems to be a scientific debate. But anyway, neither here nor there. That's the machlokas that we saw yesterday. Tan Rabbanan, we're going to come back momentarily to that machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. But in the meantime, however, another debate between these two Tanaim. Eretz Yisrael Nivra Tchila V'chol Olam Kulo Nivra L'Besof. So the Gemara here quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says that Eretz Yisrael was created first, and then the entire world was created afterwards. So in other words, in the formation of the world, again, I'm just going to be saying a simple pshat in the Gemara over here. The Gemara is probably meant to be understood much more on a much more esoteric basis. But anyway, Eretz Yisrael was created first, and then the rest of the world is to follow. As you remember, the pasuk says, "Ad lo asa Eretz v'chutzos." Okay, and so and a pasuk in Mishlei that speaks to this idea. Eretz Yisrael next. In terms of irrigation, the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of Eretz Yisrael himself, b'chvod v'atzmo, and the rest of the world. So that's done through agency. So Shenemar, the pasuk says, okay, so over here, clearly this idea of shlichus, of agency in terms of irrigating the rest of the world. Eretz Yisrael shows that make shamim v'cholam kulo mitamtsis. So as far as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, so Eretz Yisrael is going to be saturated with rainwater. And as far as the rest of the world is concerned, so the rest of the world is getting some sort of other water sources in terms of irrigation. Shenemar hanosein matar al pnei Eretz. So once again, a pasuk in Eov gives a description that Eretz Yisrael is getting the rainwater, getting the water specifically from rainwater. Another point, Eretz Yisrael shows the tchil v'cholam kulo lebesof shenemar. Okay, and the Eretz Yisrael drinks first, and everyone else is just getting residual. Mashal Adam she megabel esegvina. So the Gemara says it's like a person making cheese. So anyone here been in the cheese making process or in the cheese making industry? So I assume that's nobody here, but it doesn't matter. So what you make cheese? So notos ochol meniachas apsolas. So what you're doing is that after you put in the enzyme in order to have everything come together, so there's going to be whey. There's going to be the residue of the cheese that you're going to be throwing out. So the Gemara says the same thing over here. In other words, that the Eretz Yisrael is going to be getting the primary water, the primary precipitation, and the rest of the world is getting some sort of residual. Okay. Amar, mimatkin hein ba'avin minale. Okay, this is now where we go back to the machlokas that we saw yesterday. So again, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua have a really fundamental debate in terms of where the water is coming from. Is the water coming from the ocean, or is there some sort of water system up in the heavens? So Rabbi Elazar says that the water comes from the ocean. If you remember, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Elazar in yesterday's daf, well, how could that possibly be? Have you ever tasted the water that comes from the ocean? That's not the same water that you're tasting with the rainwater. It doesn't taste the same. So if you recall, so Rabbi Elazar said in his defense, well, what happens is that through, I'm going to give you, an explanation that's a little bit more modern, but through the evaporation of the water and it going up into the heavens and coming back down again. So basically what happens is that we strip the salt content of the water, or to use the Gemara's language, the clouds sweeten the water. Okay, good. So that's what that was the counter argument that Rabbi Eliezer gave. So Amar Mimatkin Hain Ba'oven. So the clouds sweeten the water. So Minale. So the Gemara says, now how do I know that? Meaning, is there anywhere where I could see that in Tanakh? So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Iksiv, Chashach Tamayim Avei Shechakim, Uksiv, Chashras Mayim Avei Shechakim. Okay. We did this recently, right? The two prakim and Tanakh, which are identical, just with subtle differences between them. So Tehillim Perek Yudches and Shmuel Beis in the 22nd chapter. So actually identical prakim. So the David HaMelech did a cut and paste, but there are some discrepancies between the prakim. So over here in one place it says Chashakta Mayim, and the other one it says Chashras Mayim. So the Gemara says Shkol Kaf V'Shadi Arish V'Karibay Hichsharta. So what we're going to do now is that basically we're going to take the two words, then we're going to overlay them one on top of the other, and so now it's going to sound something like Hichsharta from the word Hechsher, which means that it prepares, meaning the cloud prepares the waters. Meaning you're right, the waters are undrinkable because they're coming from the ocean, but what happens is the cloud serves as a Machsher. That's how we're going to understand it based on putting together those two different words. Rav Yehoshua, Bahani Krai, my Darish Bahu. Now, Rav Yehoshua disagrees. He fundamentally disagrees. Meaning, going back to the end of yesterday's daf, Rav Yehoshua is of the position that the water that's coming from the heavens, so it's coming from a separate water source that are up in the heavens. So he doesn't have this idea that the clouds are sweetening the water. So what does he do in terms of darshing the psukim? I don't know. You could have just simply said he doesn't darshan the psukim, but the Gemara assumes that's not an option. The Gemara assumes that he does, in fact, darshan the psukim. So my darsh bay. So sarvalaki had the chias of Ravdimi. Amar b'marava. So this is what you're going to say, and this is what they do say in Eretz Yisrael, and that is Nehor Anani, Zeirin Moi. Chashoch Anani, Sagi Moi. So they say, look, what kind of rain are we going to have? So take a look at the color of the clouds. So if the clouds are lighter, so the rain is going to be lighter. And if the clouds are darker, the rain's going to be heavier. So that's an expression they have in Eretz Yisrael. And actually, when you look at those psukim, so chashachta mayim avesh chakim, from the word choshech, meaning that's the dark clouds, which is going to produce a lot of rain. And chashras mayim, so I don't know. But the Gemara is assuming that that's talking about the lighter clouds. Okay. So, keman azla hadetanya. So the Gemara now is going to just spend a couple more minutes together with this machlokus. So we learned in the Braisa, Mayim Halyonim, Bema'amar Heim Tuluyim. So Mayim Halyonim, so how are they staying up there? We got this thing called gravity, and meanwhile, the water sources that are up in the heavens seem to be defying gravity. So the Gemara says, yeah, they are, but Bema'amar Heim Tuluyim, meaning Akash Baruch Hu instructed them to stay there, so they're going to stay there. So so the Gemara says, Rebbe Lazar, so, I'm sorry, let me do that again, let me do that correctly. So, Uperosei Megishamim, and the Shenamar, Mipri Masecha Tisba Aretz. And in terms of now, the Peros of this structure up in the heavens, so the Peros are rain, meaning that what comes out from these structures are rain. So, come on, Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So it's going like Rabbi Yoshua. Meaning, going back to the end of yesterday's stuff, Rabbi Yoshua's of the position is that there's some sort of water facility that's up in the heavens, and that's what the Pasuk over here is describing. Good. So, Rabbi Lazar, how would my say Adav Shalakash Baruch Hu Dichsev? And Rabbi Lazar will tell you that no, the Pasuk is not describing some sort of water system that's up in the heavens. It just simply means that Akash Baruch Hu created everything, including the heavens. That's all. I'm Rabbi Yeshua Malevi, call Olam Kula Mitamsis Gan Eden, who shows that. Rabbi Yeshua Malevi says that as far as the world is concerned, so what we're getting are the residuals of Gan Eden. Shenema Venay Yosem Eden. So there's a river coming out of Eden. Tanami Tamsa's base core, Shisa Tarkov. So and the Gemara here gives the measurement that the Tamsa's base core, that if you're irrigating a base core is a field that is equivalent to 30 sa'a, right? As far as measurements are concerned, so the fields are measured not based on an area, on a linear area, which would seem to be a good way to measure, but that's not how they measure. They measured based on the yield that it produces. So you talk about a field, so the base core is a volume, because that's how they measure. They measure based on its yield. So, but anyway, a base core is a big field. It's a large field. Let's just say it like that. So if we're taking a look at the residual water, meaning when you irrigate the field, so there's going to be runoff the field. So if the field is the base core, so then the runoff is going to be Shisa Tarkov. Okay, a small measurement. Okay, forgive me, I didn't do the actual math, but anyway, this idea that there's going to be a runoff from the irrigation, and this is follows in the heels of the Gemara's point that as far as the irrigation of the world is concerned, it's basically the runoff of Gan Eden. From our Gemara, in just a moment, we're going to see it also again, right at this next piece of Gemara. It certainly sounds like Eden, Gan Eden are actual physical locations in this world. Right? Their whereabouts, of course, are unknown, but that's what it sounds like from our Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara now is going to speak this out. Eretz Mitzrayim, Hav Yadal Meos Parsa, Al Dalos Meos Parsa. So, in terms of the principality of what is called Mitzrayim, so it is 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Okay. And then, Vahu Echa Mishishim B'Kush. Now, it's only a fraction of the side of Kush. A fraction over here, specifically the ratio is 1 to 60, a 60th. So Mitzrayim is only a 60th of Kush. So Kush is this huge landmass, of which Mitzrayim is only just a small fraction of it. V'Kush Echa Mishishim Ba'olam. Now Kush is just 60th of the world, of the entire world. V'Olam Me'ech Mishishim Megan Eden. I'm sorry. V'Olam Echa Mishishim Megan. So the whole world is just a 60th of the Gan. And the Gan Echa Mishishim La'Eden. And then the Gan itself is the 60th of Eden. So first of all, a lot of interesting points over here, most of which I don't understand, but that's fine. And that is that, first of all, there are two physical locations. One's called Gan, and the other one's called Eden, meaning Gan is the garden of Eden. So the Gemara is clearly understanding over here that those are two different municipalities. That's number one. And number two is that the Gemara over here is understanding is that these are really large masses of land. Okay. Now, after that, if I can help you any more in terms of understanding the Gemara, so I check out. Meaning,
it says that the Eden is larger than the world.
Correct. Right. So I don't know what that means. And I'm happy to admit I don't know what that means. But yeah, Gemara is clearly looking at it as some sort of mass. Ve'eden echa mishishin l'gehenem, and Eden is a 60th of Gehenem. So nimtza kol ha'olam kulo kikisu keder l'gehenem. And now as far as the whole world is concerned, so it's just basically in aspect ratio. So it's basically a cover of a lid to Gehenem. V'yeshomim Gehenem ain l'shir. Now some say that Gehenem doesn't even have a shir. V'yeshomim Eden ain l'shir. Now some say that Eden does not have a shir. Okay. So again, to the best of our understanding, and my understanding is not even, right, not even, whatever. I could say over the Gemara, but that's about it. Am Rabbi Yoshia my dichsiv. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Shochenes amayim rabim rabasot zaros. So it is over the great waters and storehouses. Mi garm labavo shiyu otzrosa maleos bar. Meaning the fact that Bavo right now is just fertile, right? In fact, we learned in school many years ago. It's fertile crescent. So the idea that Bavo is so saturated with water, and as a result of that, produces so much grain. It's because it's sitting between two rivers. So the fact that there's so much wealth in Bavo is that you're able to harvest without any rain, meaning it's able to produce without rain. And the Gemara says that we have a tradition that Tuvina, that it is an area that is saturated, and lo yushbina, and it doesn't dry out. Okay, I got it. Okay, that takes us right now up until the Mishnah. And now, both are true. Okay, it brings us up to the Mishnah, and now, after some time, having discussed rain, and we've been discussing rain now for some time, so we're still going to be on point. We're going to still be discussing rain. However, we are up to the next Mishnah. So over here, the Mishnah talks now about Sheilas Geshamim. So this Mishnah should sound familiar. We already said this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. So when do we start doing the Sheila? So going back to the beginning of the Masechta, a reminder in that in the Shemana Esrei, so we're looking to do two things to acknowledge that we're in the beginning of the rain season. Number one, Haskara. Number one, we are going to be mentioning rain. And that is in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we're going to be saying, Mashiv Ruach HaMoedeg Hashem. Number two is that in the ninth bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, we're going to be petitioning a formal request for rain. That is what's called She'ela. So we already discussed since the beginning of the Masechta, when is appropriate to start and stop Haskara, right? Starting on Sukkot, ending on Pesach, and that's an oversimplification, but that's fine. Meaning good. That's the Haskara. Now, what about She'ela? So She'ela is a formal petition, and when is it appropriate to make that formal petition? So hopefully you recall, we go back to much earlier in the Masechta, where we had no less than three opinions in a Braisa in terms of when is it appropriate to start asking for the rain. This takes us back to Vav Amud Aleph. And then on top of that, there's also our Mishnah, which records the Machlokas Tanaim as well. Our Mishnah is only going to be recording two opinions, but if you recall, there actually are a total of three opinions. On the Braisa, on Vav Amud Aleph, I'm just reminding all of us, myself as well, so the opinions are in the Braisa, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says that the petitioning should begin on the third day of Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Yehuda says on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Rabbi Yossi says on the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. Further, if you recall, there were also, for each one of the opinions, there were two subsequent dates as well. Okay. Anyway, those are the opinions that we saw all the way back on Vav Amud Aleph. Here we are now on Yud Amud Aleph. And so here we're learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Begimam Mar Cheshvan Shalom Sagashamim." So according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, so you start petitioning for rain on the third day of Mar Cheshvan. And Rabbi Gamliel Omer B'Shiva Bo. Rabbi Gamliel says you start on the seventh day. Tezvav Yom Echa, Tezvav Yom Achar Achag. Now it happens to be that that's going to be 15 days after Sukkot is over. Meaning, open up your calendar and look at the end of Sukkot and count 15 days from the end of Sukkot. And that's going to land you on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Kedei, Shiagi Achron, Shibisol, Lanar Pras. Now, what's that going to do? In other words, why 15 days? Because that's the amount of travel time that's going to take you to get from Yerushalayim to the Euphrates River. Who's walking? The answer is all the Ole Bavel. I'm sorry. Yeah, all the Ole Regalim. Those that made that did the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So eventually they have to go home after Yantiv is over. So we're going to be assuming, we're going to making a couple of assumptions. Number one, they're going to be staying in Yerushalayim through the entire duration of Yantiv. There's no absolute obligation to do so. We did learn already a couple of times the mitzvah of Lina. Lina means that you have to at least stay one night in Yerushalayim once you're there for the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. But you don't have to stay there for the duration of Yantiv, but we're assuming right now that people do. And we're also assuming now that they're going to start their trek home after Yantiv is over, and it takes 15 days to get from Yerushalayim all the way back to the Euphrates River. Okay, I already observed a couple of times, you're talking about a significant commitment in terms of Aliyah L'Regel. That's 2 weeks traveling there, 2 weeks traveling home, plus the 1 week you're staying over there. Okay, that's 5 weeks in order to do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Right. And just again, if you're just working with assumptions, if you're doing that three times a year, all right, that's a lot. That's a serious commitment. Yeah. Okay. It's a real commitment. Anyway, so that's what our Mishnah teaches us. So again, so what we're looking at over here is that machlokus in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel in terms of when do you start the She'ela, the formal request for rain. And we don't want it to rain on the people, according to Rabbi Gamliel, which in a moment we're going to see that's the halacha. We don't want it to rain on the people that are walking home. So as a result of that, we're going to be delaying the petition so that they're going to be able to walk home safely and dryly. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, halachik Rabbi Gamliel. So again, the Gemara told us this back on Daf Vav, and again, a repetition here on Daf Yud, and that is that the Amorim passing like Rabbi Gamliel. There is another Nusach back on Daf Vav where the halacha goes like another Tana. But anyway, but the Gemara there and here both quote B'shem Rabbi Elazar, the halacha falls like Rabbi Gamliel. Tanya Chananya Omer Uvegola Ad Shishim B'tkufa. So, if you go out to the Gola, if you go out to the diaspora, so there it's 60 days after the Tkufa. In a moment, I'm going to come back. I'm going to explain that just a little bit better. But in the meantime, the basic point of the Gemara is that if you're living in the diaspora, you don't start asking for rain on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. But rather, you wait until 60 days after the tkufa. So, Amar Rav Huna Barchi Amar Shmuel Halacha Kechananya, and the Gemara says that's in fact the halacha. Ini, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. V'habam minei Mishmuel Me'emus Matkiran V'Sein Talamatar. So, meanwhile, they ask Shmuel this very question: when do you start making the formal petition for rain? So, Amar Luhu Mechima Ayel Siva LeBeit Tavus Rishba. So his answer is, well, when they start bringing the wood in. Meaning that you look around and you see when the wood is being brought in, right? Tavos Rishba, some sort of trapper. That was his name. So he was Tavos the trapper. Anyway, when you start singing and bringing the wood in other words, he's going to bring the wood in. He let the wood outside to dry, but now as the rainy season starts, he's going to bring the wood inside. So that's when you start asking for rain. So that's so right now the Gemara is bothered because he didn't give the answer of 60 days. So the Gemara says, yeah. So the Gemara gives a really simple explanation, and that is that it's the same thing. Meaning 60 days after the tkufa is basically when the wood is being brought in by the trappers. Now the Gemara wants to know that when we're saying it's 60 days after the tkufa, what about day 60 itself? What do we start doing on day 60? Meaning, do we start asking for the rain on day 60 or after day 60? That's the Gemara's question. Tashma, Rav Amar Yom Shishim Kal Achar Shishim. So Rav says that day 60 is like after, meaning that you start asking for rain even on day 60. Ushmul Amar Yom Shishim Kilif Ne Shishim. And Shmuel's of the position that Yom Shishim is Kilif Ne Shishim. So Amar Rav Nachma Yitzhak Visimancha, Eli Bo Maya Tasai Lo Bai Maya. And Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, I'll give you a great mnemonic, a great memory aid to help us all remember that Rav says that basically you start asking for rain a day earlier. So how do you remember it? So think about where they came from. Rav comes from Eretz Yisrael. I know Rav ends up settling in Bavel, but Rav comes from Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel, on the other hand, is native to Bavel. So who needs rain earlier? People in Eretz Yisrael need rain earlier because, as we already learned, We already spent time this daf talking about. Eretz Yisrael is in need of rain. Bava lesso. So therefore, given that Rav is from Eretz Yisrael, so therefore it's just a mnemonic, it's just a memory aid. So now I think to myself, oh yeah, Rav is the one who asks the day earlier. Oh, he's from Eretz Yisrael, they need rain earlier. Okay. It's not cause and effect, it's just simply a memory aid. Amra Papa Hilchasa Yom Shishim Kalachar Shishim. And the Gemara on this question arrives at a conclusion, which is that Yom Shishim is Kala Achar Shishim, meaning that already on day 60 you start asking for rain. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so what comes out now from our Gemara is the following, that in Eretz Yisrael you start asking for rain on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, right? And the and outside of Eretz Yisrael, so you wait till 60 days after the Tekufa. So I'll just spend a moment talking about both. Okay, this is where there's a lot of halacha, meaning up until now in the Masechta, a lot of Agadita. So at this point in the Gemara, there's a lot of halacha, and I'm really not covering all the halacha. Just to make a couple of salient points. Number one is that in Eretz Yisrael, they start on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. It sounds like from the Gemara, even Bizman Hazeh, even nowadays, they start on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Now that's, of course, the halacha. The halacha is you start on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, but the Rishonim are bothered by a really simple question. Meaning, why is it delayed until the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan? So that people will have time to walk home. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Meaning you have the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Ragel. People need time to walk home. So therefore, you start on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. That's when there was a Beis HaMikdash. But once there's no Beis HaMikdash, so when would seem to be the appropriate time to start asking for rain? Then the moment the Sukkot is over. Meaning, right, remember, we start Mashiv Aruchim Rodegeshim the moment the Sukkot is over. Meaning on Shmini Atzeres, on Musaf, on Shmini Atzeres, that's when we start asking for, not asking, that's when we start being maskir gishamim. So ostensibly, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so you should also be starting the formal petition, the formal she'ila of a Saint Talamat Alavracha. That's the Rishonim already bothered by that. The Ran, right here on our Gemara, so the Ran says, can I tell you a minug? So the minug was is that even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, people still did the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Right? Obviously, there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no there's nothing to see, but nevertheless, that was a minug, that people were ola l'rego. I don't have the words of the Ran in front of me right now, right? Hard to imagine that he's calling it an actual mitzvah without a Beis HaMikdash, but still the practice was is that people were still ola l'rego even after Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's the Ran and our Gemara over here. Okay. And there are other explanations in terms of why it is that even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're only, in Eretz Yisrael, I'm talking about Eretz Yisrael, we're only starting on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan, when seemingly we should have started immediately after Sukkot is over, without a Beis HaMikdash and without the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, that's number one. Number two is, and this part gets really complicated, and I'm not going to make it complicated, I'm really going to make it simple, because I'm going to oversimplify. So the Gemara says that outside of Eretz Yisrael in the diaspora, so when are you asking for rain? So 60 days after the tkufa. So when the Gemara talks about the tkufa, so the Gemara is actually talking about the seasons, meaning as we know it. So the seasons obviously are going to be a function of the equinox. In other words, that we have two equinoxes in the year. So we have the one that occurs in the fall, the autumnal equinox, and the one in the spring, the vernal equinox. And then, of course, you have the solstices as well. So the equinoxes are when? So the fall equinox is September 22nd. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm the 21st. Okay, whatever, 21st, 22nd. So the the fall equinox. So the Gemara says that it's 60 days after the Tkufa. So that's what the Gemara means. Well, if that's what the Gemara means, well, what? So if it's based on the equinox, so September 22nd goes 60 days later. So we should be somewhere like around November 22nd. By the way, what's today? Today's November. It's amazing. So today's November 22nd. Okay, good. So it worked out so good. So the so we should be starting sometime around November 22nd. So what happened? Meaning, right? The date is December 5th. Now, again, I it gets more complicated than what I'm describing right now. I'm just giving a rough draft of what is happening. So what is happening is that they were basing it on the fact that it's on December the 4th or 5th now, is based on an older calendar. Okay, this I did a little bit of research. So the first solar calendar that was ever like actually put into place and that people used was done by Julius Caesar. Right, basically, right around zero of the Common Era. Okay, a little bit beforehand, right? 46 years beforehand, whatever the case is. Anyway, Julius Caesar put together the first solar calendar. Right. In other words, societies up until that point in time were using a lunar calendar. Right. That's what we've been using, right, since Matan Torah. But we've been using a lunar calendar. But back in the but in order to create a calendar that operates using the solar year. So this goes all the way back to Julius Caesar. It just happens to be that he got it mostly right, but he wasn't right. In other words, what ended up happening is that he based it on a solar year that was off. I think it was off by 11 minutes. Whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so already now in the 16th century, so right, so now that's some 1600 years later, after he put his calendar, so what happens is that those 11 minutes, so they aggregate. So, and they find themselves to be way off at that point in time. I say way off, by the way, I don't want to make it too dramatic. They're like about 11 days off. So already, so the Pope at the time, a guy by the name of Pope Gregory. So what he did is that he basically had to adjust the calendar. So he basically, what he did is he moved the calendar ahead by 11 days, something along those lines. And so basically what happened now is that he adjusted the calendar. So the dates that we use nowadays, December 4th, December 5th, are based on the older calendar, meaning the Julian calendar, and it didn't adjust when Gregory adjusted the calendar. Even though, by the way, mathematically he's right, meaning it doesn't matter the fact that he's right. In other words, but we still operate with an older calendar. And the truth of the matter is that there's more details over here which I'm just not going to go through. But anyway, so to the simple question of why are we not starting the same Talmud Lavracha on today, right? November 22nd. So, okay. So it's because we're basing it off an old calendar and we never bothered shifting even as they shifted the calendar. Okay. Fine. That is a really brief explanation, incomplete, but meanwhile, it's something. Okay. Higi Yudzayin. Okay. We are now back to the Gemara. Okay. We got a daf. So we're up to the next Mishnah, and oh, by the way, okay, I'll just mention one other point. As long as we're here, the Rosh right over here in our Gemara, right? We just looked it up before, right? It's Siman Dalet. Anyway, the Rosh right here writes that this idea that we're asking for rain on the 60 days after the Tkufa, so the Rosh is a little bit bothered because the Rosh obviously lived in Europe, right? The Rosh is one of the last of the Balei HaTosfos. Right, he studied under the Maharam Rottenberg. Anyway, so about the 14th century, no, 13th century. Anyway, more like the 13th century. Anyway, so he was a little bit bothered because the Gemara over here says that when should we start petitioning for rain? So 60 days after the Tkufa. So the Rosh is like, that's great if you live in Bavel. We're there. As the Gemara just acknowledged, you don't need a lot of rain in Bavel. So over there, so you delayed 60 days after the Tkufa. Okay, so you're not asking for rain until sometime end of November, early December. Okay, but we live in Europe, the Rosh is writing. We live in Europe right now. We need more rain. So wouldn't it make more sense that we should be asking for rain earlier? Meaning the whole point over here is ask for rain when needed. and we need more rain. So the rush is a little bit, just a little bit confused in terms of why it is the practices that we don't start asking for rain earlier, considering that we need it earlier, meaning we who live in Europe. So that's the rush over here. Okay, and from there, a discussion, a much larger discussion in terms of why it is that we follow B'nai Bavel in terms of asking for rain only 60 days after the Tekufa. Okay, fine. That's it. There's a lot of halacha over here, right? Finally, we hit a point of Gemara where there's a lot of halacha. I just mentioned a couple of salient points. We're going to continue. The mission now, Higia Yuzayin B'mar Cheshvan, V'lo Yarduk Shamim. Okay, so now 17th day of Mar Cheshvan and no rain is coming. So again, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a rainy season. And so therefore, the beginning of the rainy season, so sometime post-Sukkos, and now the actual formal petitioning of the rain, either the third day of Mar Cheshvan, the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. But anyway, by the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, if it's not raining, so we are at, I forgot which way we go in terms of the DEFCONs. when it starts, when trouble starts brewing. When all safe where we're at DEFCON 1, 5, I forgot which way we go. Okay, whatever. Okay, we don't panic on the 7th day, on the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, but already, however, we start to worry. So, and what is, how does that manifest itself? So, Yitzchila Yechida Matanim Gimel Tanios. So now what you're going to have is you're going to have individuals. In the Gemara, we're going to learn that those individuals are basically the Chachamim, the rabbis. So already now on the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, so we're not hitting the panic button, but the concern is there, and so therefore the rabbis are going to fast. Now, three fast days, as we're going to learn together, Monday, Thursday, Monday. So, Ochlin Vishos Mechashecha, Umutarm B'malacha. So you eat night prior, meaning it's a day fast. You don't fast a full 25 hours. And you're allowed to do malacha, v'rechitza, you're allowed to bathe, v'sicha, v'nila, sasandal, uvitash mishamita, right? The inuyim are not in effect, right? The five inuyim that we talked about at the end of Yuma. So he gave Rosh Chodesh Kislev, lo yarduk shamim. So now, first day of Kislev comes, and there's no rain, bezin goes and shosh tanios, ala tzibur. So now we start with the communal fasts. Ochlim v'shos mishecha shecha. Again, it's not a full day fast. So therefore, you're going to be eating the night prior. Umutarm b'malacha v'rechitza v'sicha v'nil sasanda v'tash mishamita. And the inuyim are not enforced as of yet. Okay, good. So our mission over here introduces us now to the fast days, which is really our mesechta, meaning that's the whole point of the mesechta. Everything up until here was just basically the setup, meaning the context now in which we're expecting rain by a certain amount of time. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain. And now, if rain is not coming, so at what point now do we start worrying? And at what point does our concern grow and grow? So now we're in our first Mishnah here discussing this topic. So the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, so we start worrying. And the Chachamim now, who are going to start fasting on those days. Man Yechidim, so how do I know it's the rabbis? Because the Gemara says. So Man Yechidim, Am Rav Huna, Rabbanan. So it's the rabbis. So now Rav Huna tells us that on the 17th day, so the Monday following the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, that will be fast number one, and the fast days always come Monday, Thursday, Monday. We know Monday and Thursday are Yemei Hadin, they're judgment days, both down here and upstairs as well. Meaning down here the courts are set up, and upstairs they're for reasons, actually, they're whatever. I could elaborate on this. I'm just not gonna do so right now. Monday and Thursdays are Yemei Hadin. They're judgment days, and so therefore on these days, so these are the days that are set aside for fasting, and specifically it's going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday. Now the Gemara says Rav Huna taught us that even on this first, on the preliminary fast days, where it's only the rabbis that are fasting, it's going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday. Now, my kamash malan tanina. Now, the Gemara says, now, wait one second. Rav Huna, thank you very much, but we knew this information already, meaning it's a mission later on. So, ain goes in tanas al sibra betchil bechamisha shalalaf kiesa sha'arim. We never start a fast on a Thursday, meaning it's always going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday, and you don't start Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Why? Because you know the market forces, right? For those of you who follow the market, so you know how sensitive the market is. And any kind of hiccup, and the market just reacts weird. So, we've seen it lately. So the so what happens now if I start a fast day on Thursday? So now everyone's thinking to themselves, oh no. So that means that not only am I not eating on Thursday, I need extra food for Friday, and of course we need extra food for Shabbos as well. So people are gonna, there's gonna be a run on the market. And what's gonna happen is that the sellers are gonna see, wow, people are buying a lot of food and the prices are gonna shoot up. So the Chachamim were sensitive to the delicate nature of the market, and so therefore they'll never start a fast day on Thursday. You see, if you started the fast day on Monday, so then Thursday, people know, meaning the market knows already that the, it's just a fast day. Meaning the fact that people are buying right now is just because there's a fast day. Okay, so it settles everybody's mind. So that's why you always have to start a fast day on Monday, as to not to create an imbalance in the very delicate market. Good. So once we know the Mishnah, so Rav Huna, what did you tell us? So the Gemara says, no, Mao de Tema, Hani Milit Sibra, Val Yachid Lo Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, look, when you're having a public fast day, which is a communal fast day, and everybody's now going and buying, so then I can understand how that would upset the market. But if I just have the rabbis fasting, which remember, right now we're talking about these preliminary rabbinic fasts, where only the rabbinic branch are fasting. So I might have thought it's not going to create a run on the market, and you could start the fast days on Thursday. So Kamash Malan, that's what Rav Huna is coming to teach us. Even here, we still stay to form in that we're going to be fasting on a Monday, Thursday, Monday. Okay. Tanya Namehachi, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, supporting this as well. Okay, so when the rabbis fast, they do so on Monday, Thursday, Monday. By the way, our Mishnah didn't tell us this information. That's why I need Rav Huna. That's why I need the supplemental Braisa. Now, what do you do on Rosh Chodesh? Meaning that what happens if Rosh Chodesh comes up on one of these fast days? So we don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. And also, any day which is recorded Megillas Tanis. We just went through whether or not Batla Megillas Tanis, Lo Batla Megillas Tanis is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches. Anyway, we went through it pretty recently. Every day in Megillas Tanis is a quasi Yantav, right? Like, by the way, the days of Chanukah and Purim are recorded in Megillas Tanis. So if those days were to concur on one of these Monday, Thursday, Mondays, so again, you don't fast. Tanu Rabbanan. And I'm not sure. It's a good question. Meaning, does it get postponed, or does it just simply get canceled? Okay, I don't know. It's a good question. So Tanu Rabbanan. Al Yomar Adam Tamin Ani Enirai Liyos Yachin. Okay, now who's fasting on these preliminary fast days? So the rabbis. But in other words, over here, what does that mean? It means that you need formal smicha. Are you a student? Like, who's fasting these days? So, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. A person should not say, look, I'm just a student, right? Like, I'm not a yachid, right? The Mishnah's language is yachidim, right? Special people, right? So if you're just a student, you don't say, I'm just a student. Elakol tamid chachamim yachidim. So, anyone who is studying, anyone who's seriously dedicating themselves to the study of Torah, so he's a yachid. So Ezu Yachiv Ezu Tamechachem Kol Shavai Limnos Aparnas Al Tzibur. So who's a Yachin? Somebody who could receive an appointment to take on a leadership position. And Talmud Kol Shesol Naso Davar Halacha B'li Mudo. A Talmud, basically, you could ask him a question, and he's there prepared to give you an answer. Avomer Vafilu Maseches Dekala and even Maseches Dekala. Maseches Dekala are quote unquote the minor tractates. In other words, Masechtos, not the ones we're learning right now. So they're quote unquote the majors, meaning they're the big Masechtos that tackle big issues. Maseches Kala, right? An assortment of smaller Masechtos that happens to be not in the Daf Yomi cycle. But then again, there are a lot of Masechtos that are not in the Daf Yomi cycle because any Masechta that doesn't have Gemara is not in the cycle. But even, in other words, these are just a smaller collection of Masechtos. Masechta Kala, Masechta Sofrim. Anyway, so, if your study includes those as well, so you qualify as a Talmud. Tanu Rabbanan lo kol arotz la'asos atzmo yachid oseh, Talmud oseh, div Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Meir is of the position that not everyone can take this title. In other words, Rebbe Meir is of the position that, look, we're in the preliminary fast, and what do we learn? We learn that the Yechidim fast and the Talmidim fast, and Rebbe Meir is of the position, don't think yourself to be a Yachid, don't think yourself to be a Talmud. Not everyone says, supposed to take that mantle. So, and Rabbi Yossi Omer, either Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer Osev v'zachol atov lefi shein shevach hulo elatzar hulo. So Rabbi Yossi is of the position that look, under normal circumstances, look, if you don't have the normal title of Yachid, if you don't have the normal title of Talmud, so under normal circumstances, I would tell you, okay, so don't write that down as a title. However, over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about fasting. Oh, fasting. So you want to put yourself in a category so that you can fast? Rabbi Yossi says that you're allowed to do. Tanya Yidach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Lo kol arotz alasos asma yachid oseh, tamid oseh. A person can't just simply put himself in the category of tamid or yachid. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So here in the brisa, it's recorded, it's attributed to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay, different than the previous brisa, but regardless. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amr Bamed Var Mamorim B'davar Shel Shevach. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, that's talking about taking the title for glory and to praise yourself. But if you want to take on the title so that you can fast, meaning I want to be one of the fasters on these preliminary fast days, by all means. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you could do it. Okay, two brises in a row, where basically a machlokas says to, in terms of whether you could take on the title of either Yachid or Talmud, in order so that you could fast together with the Chachamim. All right, Tanu Rabbanan. Misha Yemetan al-Atzar v'Avra, Alachola v'nisra pei. So let's say you take on a fast, and because there was a tara, because there was a time of significant need of the Jewish people, and it happens to be mid fast, it goes away. Okay, that was quick, but okay, it could happen. Alternatively, you're fasting for somebody to heal, and it happens to be that right in the middle of your fast. So it happens to be that he had a miraculous healing. Okay, but right now you're in the middle of your fast day. So the question is really simple. Complete the fast day, or once you start, you should finish. So, hareze mit'ana umashlim. So, the Braisa over here says really clearly that, look, you accepted upon yourself a fast day. It's like a quasi neder. Okay, you got to finish it. So, ha'olach mimakum shem matan lamakum shem matanim. Another scenario in which you would think that maybe you don't need to fast. Let's say you were to go from a place that is not fasting to a place that's fasting, or here in the other direction, right? Your location right now is not fasting. But it happens to be that you're traveling to a place on that day where they're fasting. So I raise a matanim in him. Okay, so when in Rome, right, to sound cliche, but okay, so when the people here are fasting, so you fast as well. Now let's say you're coming from a place that was fasting, but it happens to be in that very day, so you travel to a place that's not fasting. I raise a matanim mashlim. So again, the acceptance upon yourself of fasting is almost like a quasi neder. You complete the fast. So shachach v'achal v'shasa. So now let's say you forgot. Okay, happens. So a person forgets that they're supposed to be fasting and he eats. So al yisra b'fniat zibor. So at this point in time, right, it's one of the frequently asked questions. I broke my fast. So what do I do now? Can I just eat like I'd like to? No, you cannot eat like you'd like to. In other words, remember, everyone else is fasting right now. It's a simple sensitivity issue. So the alyanig idunim be'atzmo, and don't be ma'adin. Don't luxuriate now. And oh, I broke my fast. Okay, so fine. So I'll eat. And there you are eating delicacies. Don't do that. Shenemar. And how do I know that? So not this week's parsha, next week's parsha. But Yomer Yaakov levanav lama tisra'u. So over here, the famine now is global, and everyone's feeling it, and the Bnei Yaakov are feeling it as well. And what Yaakov tells his son is Lama Tisra'u. And right now, that's a hard word to translate. And you look at the Mefarshim over there in Chumash, they're going to give you multiple translations. Our Gemara is going to be operating with the following translation, the following interpretation. Amar lahem Yaakov v'avanav al tiratz mechem kishatem sveim lo b'fnei Esav v'lo b'fnei Yishmael. Kidei shelo yitkanu b'chem. So look, it happened to be that at that point in time, they still had some food. But Yaakov was telling his sons, look, we're surrounded by basically our cousins, right? B'nei Esav, B'nei Yishmael. And if you look right now like we have food, so they're going to be extraordinarily jealous about us, and that's no good. So don't incur any kind of jealousy. And right now, right, al tisra'u, don't make it look like right now, right, don't showboat, right? Don't make it look like we have a lot of food right now, even though right now currently we happen to have some food, but don't do that. Right, you want to be sensitive to the fact that other people currently don't have food. Okay, Adkan. We're gonna do a little bit more daf today. We're gonna finish off the daf, but that basically takes us now to the end of the halachic discussion of today. Let's just quickly run through the next bit of Gemara. The Gemara over here, it's a little bit of a Agadata, but it's based on the Psukim. We just quoted from the dialogue between Yaakov and his sons at the beginning of the famine. So, Al Tirguzu Baderech. So the Gemara over here now is going to fast forward a couple of Prakim. This is Perak Mem Hey, where Yosef, after telling the brothers, hey, I'm Yosef, it's all good. So Yosef gives instructions to the brothers, Al Tirguzu Baderech. Now, what does that mean? Again, it's a difficult word. It needs interpretation. The Gemara here is going to give interpretation. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lam Yosef Le'achav, Al Tisasku B'Dvar Halacha, Shema Tirguzu Aleichem Aderech. So he says, don't get involved in Dvar Halacha, meaning don't get into any kind of halachic discourse, because what's going to happen is that basically you're going to get lost on the way. So, Ini V'Amar Rabbi Elai Bar Brecha, Shnei Tamidei Chacham, Mishamahachem Aderech, Ve'im B'Neim Divrei Torah, Ru'in Lisarit. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So if you're Tamid Chachamim and you're traveling and you're not learning Torah while you're traveling, so those Tamid Chachamim are deserved of a really serious consequence, right? Literally, they should be burnt. Ashenemar, the Gemara quotes over here, the Pasuk in Malachim, Vayihi Hema Holchim, V'davar V'hinei Rochev, Eish V'susa Eish, V'yafridu Bein Shnehem. These two Tamid Chachamim, it's a reference to Eliyahu and Elisha, so they're walking and they're speaking, that's v'davar or v'daber. And meanwhile, rechav eish v'susa eish v'yafrida ben shneim. Some sort of fiery entities between them. And taimadika dibor, the only reason why they weren't burnt is because they were talking. And the Gemara is, of course, assuming that they're talking and learning. So halak adibor ruin lisarif. But if they were not talking and learning, they should have been burnt. So lo kashya. So the Gemara says, okay, so it's Yosef's instructions to the brothers are, do not learn on the way home. And meanwhile, when you're talmid chachamim, you need to be learning. Even while traveling. It's a pasuk in Shema, by the way. Good. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, halamikras haliyune. So the Gemara says, well, it depends what kind of learning we're talking about. So if it's something which requires iyun, investigation, meaning it's real analysis, lumdus is what we would probably call it. So that's something you shouldn't do while you're traveling, meaning that's going to just simply, it's going to derail you, right? I say that almost literally. But on the other hand, if it's something which is just you're being gares, meaning you're just going over your learning, that's what you're supposed to do while you're traveling. Okay. Ben Masisa Tana Av Tasiu Psia Gasa V'Echnisu Chema Leir. So another interpretation the Gemara says of Al Tigrizu Baderech, and that is don't take these really long steps. Right? These really long steps are speak about arrogance. And it makes yourselves more vulnerable. And Al Tafsiu Psiagasa Damar Psiagasa and tells Echad Mechamesh Meos Mem Or Einav Shel Adam. So we saw the Gemara goes back to Psachim. Anyway, when you take these really big steps, so what you're doing about is that you make yourself more vulnerable. It's arrogant to take these big steps. In fact, the Gemara here says, the Gemara back in Psachim said it as well, it actually removes some of your eyesight. V'yichnisu chema le'ir, kid Rav Yehuda Merav, da'am Rav Yehuda Merav, lo'olam yese adam b'chito v'yichanes b'chitov. When you travel, you should be traveling during the daytime. Shenem raboka orva nashim shulchu. So they travel during the daytime. Am Rav Yehuda Merav, b'chia malach b'derech al yochel Yosef Mishnei Ravon. You know what? This is a good place to stop. We'll stop over here. Of Hamahalach Bederech, 4 lines from the bottom. Anyway, good. All right, so let's conclude. Let's quickly recap. Okay, number one, the first part of today's daf. So we went through machlokes between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, a continuum of yesterday's discussion regarding where is the water coming from the heavens? Like, where is the source of that water? So that goes back to yesterday's daf. Machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Elazar says that it comes from the ocean, it evaporates, it goes up into the clouds, and it comes back down again. Like I mentioned yesterday, right? The way we understand the world, that seems to be the more correct explanation. But again, caution to everybody, myself included, that's just a superficial way to understand the Gemara. The Gemara is probably not meant to be understood in that manner. Anyway, according to Rabbi Yoshua is of the position that there's some sort of water works up in the heavens, and that's where the water comes from. Good. Along those lines, at the beginning of today's daf, So we talked about what part of the world was created first. Eretz Yisrael was created first, and a number of other firsts for Eretz Yisrael. And that is where we started off our daf today. And then with a callback to the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua of yesterday's daf. And a little bit more of a description of Eretz Yisrael relative to Kush, relative to the world, relative to Gan Eden, relative to Eden, relative to Gehenim. Okay, a lot of Gemaras that are just going well over my head, but okay, that's the first part of today's daf. Next, when do we start making a she'ela, a formal petition of rain? So we cited this Mishnah already earlier in our Masechta back on Daf Vav, but here's the Mishnah itself that we saw today, and Machlok is between the Tanakam and Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. The Gemara says that's the halacha. You start asking for rain on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. Now the Mishnah's explanation is so that allows people to go home after Sukkos, meaning Sukkos is now come to an end, and people need time to get home, so you take that into account, and that's how we get to the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. And in Eretz Yisrael, that in fact is the halacha. What about here in Galus? So what do we do? So our Gemara tells us that we start 60 days after the Tekufa. And that requires a lot of explanation. I gave a little bit of explanation this morning in terms of a little bit how we got to our date. Anyway, we start on the 5th day of December. Good. The next Mishnah talks about where there is not rain when we're expecting it. We're expecting rain to come down in Mar Cheshvan, and it's already 17th day of Mar Cheshvan, and there is no rain. So what do? So we don't hit the panic button, but we hit the concern button. And that concern button now is going to ask the rabbis of the community to go fast on our first Monday, Thursday, Monday. It's our first round of fasting. It's not a public fast day. It's only for the Chachamim. So the Gemara points out, Rav Huna pointed out, that the Mishnah's language is Yechidim. It's a reference to the Chachamim. So the Rabbanan are going to be fasting on these preliminary fast days. Good. They're going to be fasting Monday, Thursday, Monday. That was Rav Huna as well. The Gemara supports that with a Braisa. Question the Gemara asks now as we are reviewing the Amud Beis, and that is, can anyone take on the mantle of being either a yachid or a talmid in order to fast on these preliminary fast days? Machlokes Tanaim. In other words, in general, if you're not a talmid chacham, if you don't have a title of rabbi, so you can't take on the title. Meaning, because with that comes kavod, and a person is not allowed to do that. And also, it's disingenuous if you happen not to have smicha. But over here, to fast, in other words, not to get shevach, not to get glory, but to fast. So can you take on the title? Machlokus amongst the Tanaim, whether or not you can do that. And then on the Amud Beis, we talked about your fasting and the reason of the fasting has gone away, right? The calamity just immediately, almost miraculously went away. You're fasting for a sick person, he was healed. Do you finish the fast? The Gemara's answer is yes. What if you're traveling from one location to another? So what do you do under those circumstances? Again, the Gemara says is that if you move to a location where they're fasting, you should fast. If you move from a location that was fasting, you should complete your fast. You can conclude your fast. What if you break your fast, our Gemara says? So, okay, you broke your fast, but that doesn't mean that you should be ma'adin. You shouldn't enjoy yourself. Consider the fact that there are other people that are fasting. Okay, so and then we quoted the pasuk regarding the Bnei Yaakov, Lama Tisra'u, and basically Yaakov says, look, we currently happen to have food, but don't luxuriate yourself when everyone around us right now does not have food. And then as long as we were there, we also quoted the pasuk, Val Tirgazu Baderech, and the Gemara gave a couple of interpretations of what that means.